Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, David.
How is everyone this morning? Great. Let us pray together. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I vow to all of you,
free my life from all obstacles,
and give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Yesterday, we marked the anniversary of Papa's Mahasamadhi. Mahasamadhi is the conscious exit, the leaving, what we otherwise call death, of a great master. For most of humanity, when it comes time to take that last breath, it is done in an unconscious kind of way. And suddenly, the soul escapes out from the body. And it is at that point that the soul rediscovers much of its lost wisdom and insight that it once had. For a great master, they have already regained that wisdom, that God experience that has taken them into their complete oneness with God. So when the last breath is taken for a great master, that breath goes out, and the spirit goes out with it. And in a conscious oneness, it expands and it feels its oneness with the infinite, even as it did while it was in the body. Only now there is no part of the consciousness that need be a part of body consciousness at all. It simply goes into omnipresence. And so, as Master said in his poem, you will feel me in the breeze, you will see me in the flower, you will partake of the Divine Master in every aspect of creation because they are one with the creative force that has brought it all into being. I'd like to read this morning an article entitled, My Beloved Papa Swami Ramdas by Swami Satchidananda. If anyone wants me to tell them about beloved Papa, I ask them to visualize what it would be like if, by some divine alchemy, love and bliss were to coalesce and stand before them as one luminous entity. That is how Papa can be seen with the naked eye. Papa was indeed the very image of love and bliss divine. What was the source of that love? When he opened out his heart to Ram, his eternal beloved, Ram flooded his heart with never-ending, never-fading love. This happened when Papa turned to his beloved Ram with pure devotion and utter self-surrender, turning his back on the world and the attractions it might hold for him. He was born of the realization of his oneness with the infinite and eternal self. Every fiber of his being then thrilled to the sweet rhythm of love. Bliss ineffable flowed over and saturated him, rising like an artesian spring from the heart's core when Papa realized the entire universe of name and form as the Vibhuti, or the manifestation of the self. In the state of pure bliss consciousness, he carried on his spiritual ministry till his last day on earth. Through his talks and actions, he gave those who sought him a taste of the love and bliss divine. The purest pearls of wisdom that fell from his lips spread sweetness and light all around, dispelling the gloom, fear, and anxiety that held the people in a tight grip. Earnest seekers were lifted up to higher levels of consciousness, getting a glimpse of the true life of the Spirit, with the result that a deep yearning for that life was kindled in them. Papa's talks were often punctuated with jokes and laughter. The total impression left on the mind of the listener was never to be forgotten. Once, to illustrate the futility of empty, theoretical, Advaitic knowledge, Papa narrated the following story. He was staying in a small mandir in Jhansi when a man approached him and asked, "Who are you?" "I am Ram Dass," he replied simply. "No, you speak a lie there," returned the visitor. "You are Ram himself. When you declare you are Ram Dass, you do not know what you say. God is everything and in everything, and he is in you, and so you are he. Confess it right away." "True, dear friend," Ram Dass replied, "God is everything. But at the same time, it must be noted, God is one, and when he is in you and everywhere around you, may I humbly ask, to whom are you putting this question?" After a little reflection, the man could only answer, "Well, I have put the question to myself." Papa always stressed the necessity of absolute honesty and sincerity as essential in the great quest. Better to be an honest, dualistic bhakti than a hypocritical Advaita. Whereas bhakti, however dualistic, will lead ultimately to jnana. And as jnana mata, the mother of jnana, Advaita practice only in the head leads to mere confusion and hypocrisy. Another incident illustrates this point well. When Papa was staying at Mount Abu, he was taken to meet a great saint, in quotes, Swami Kavalananda, a young sannyasin living in a cave, his body completely shaved, but surrounded by a number of books. Papa approached him and prostrated. With a look of surprise, the sannyasin asked, "To whom are you offering this salutation?" "To Ram," Papa replied. "Who are you?" "Ram Dass." "Ram Dass, Ram Dass. Funny, isn't it? There is only one truth. Why do you assume this false duality?" "It is Ram himself being one who has chosen to be the many." "Wrong," retorted the Advaitin. "He is always one. Many is false illusion. Truth has become God and his devotee for the sake of the Leela, the divine play," Papa replied. "Why play?" "For the love and bliss. So when Ram Dass prostrates to you, it is he who does it in the form of Ram Dass," Papa went on. "Bosh," cut in the sannyasin. "There is only one, never two." "Then to whom are you talking, dear Swamiji?" asked Papa, pulling out his Brahmastra. The sannyasin reflected a while and replied, "To myself." "Exactly. You assume there are two, although in light of absolute truth there is only one." "No, no. No realized person believes in duality," maintained the Advaitin, getting jumpy. "Here, take this book and read it. You will understand things more clearly, I assure you. It was written by me." He pressed Papa to accept it, noticing that the author's name on the cover. Papa noted that he referred to himself as Swami Kavalananda, M.A. Papa, known as Vatal Roy, was in his Purva Ashram days, before he had entered his sannyas life. Was born in 1884 at Hasdrug, Kerala, to Sri Balakrishna Rao and Lalita Bai, a devout Saraswat couple. Papa lived the ordinary life of a householder until he was 36. During that time, he experienced many trials and tribulations from the worldly point of view, but in his case, they caused him to inquire deeply into the true meaning of life. A wonderful transformation was wrought in him of which nobody had any inkling until he was suddenly fired with an intense wave of dispassion. He came to realize the futility of worldly pursuits and the need for real, everlasting peace and happiness. Inspired by the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Vivekananda, and Swami Ramatirtha, Papa became thoroughly convinced that God alone can give one eternal peace and happiness. The path of pure devotion and self-surrender shone forth from him with an irresistible appeal. All attachments to family, friends, and business dropped away just as a fully ripened fruit falls from the tree. He was inwardly ready to give himself up wholly and unreservedly to God. At that critical time, his father, noticing his son's waning interest in secular pursuits and his waxing love for and devotion to God, initiated him into the Ram Mantram and assured him that by repeating it unstintingly, he would in due time find the true peace and happiness he was thirsting for. As the mantram took hold of him, Papa found his life filled with Ram. It was then that he renounced the samsaric life and went forth in quest of God as the mendicant sadhu. The first year of Papa's new life is described by him in his autobiography, In Quest of God. It was on the one morning in December 1922 that Papa left hearth and home by train for Mangalore. He did not know where he was going, nor was he anxious about it. He only knew that he was obeying the divine command of his beloved Ram, and was therefore sure that he would guide him unerringly. The mantram, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, was ever on his lips and in his heart. Besides chanting the divine name, Papa's practice was to look upon everything in the world as forms of Ram, God, and to accept everything that happened as happening by the will of Ram alone. Papa was thus directed to Srinagam. Here he bathed in the holy Kaveri, and after offering up his old white clothes to the sacred river, he donned the ochre robes of a sannyasin and underwent spiritual rebirth. As prompted by Ram himself, Papa assumed the new name of Ram Das, servant of Ram, and took the inviolable vows of sannyasa, renunciation. Papa never referred to himself in the first person ever again. With the name of God constantly on his lips, Papa continued his travels in the company of itinerant sadhus. The journey took him to Tiruvannamalai, where he stood in front of Bhagavan Ramana and prayed for his grace. About this experience, Papa himself has said, "The Maharshi, turning his beautiful eyes towards Ram Das and looking intently for a few minutes into his eyes, as though he was pouring into Ram Das his blessings through those orbs, nodded his head to say he had blessed." A thrill of inexpressible joy coursed through the frame of Ram Das, his whole body quivering like a leaf in the breeze. In that ecstatic state, he left Maharshi's presence and went to spend nearly a month in the cave on the slopes of Arunachala in constant chanting of Ram Nam. This was the first occasion he went into solitude. After 21 days, when he came out of the cave, he saw a strange, all-pervasive light. Everything was Ram and only Ram. Papa continued his travels, which took him to many parts of India, including the sacred shrines in the Himalayas, and then on to Bombay, and finally back to Mangalore, where he spent 3 months in the Panchapandava cave at Kadri. It was here that he had his first experience in Nirvikalpa Samadhi. About this experience, he writes, "For some days, his meditation consisted only of the mental repetition of Ram Mantram. Then, the mantram having stopped automatically, he beheld a small circular light before his mental vision, which yielded him thrills of delight. This experience having continued for some days, he felt a dazzling light like lightning flashing before his eyes, which ultimately permeated him and absorbed him. Now, an inexpressible bliss filled every pore of his physical frame. When the state was coming on, he would at the outset become oblivious of his hands and feet and gradually his entire body. Lost in this trance state, he would sit for 2 or 3 hours. Still, a subtle awareness of external objects was maintained in this state. For 2 years from the time of the significant change which had come over him, Ram Dass had been prepared to enter into the very depths of his being for the realization of the immutable, calm, and eternal Spirit of God. Here he had to transcend name, form, thought, and will, every feeling of the heart and faculty of the mind. The world had then appeared to him as a dim shadow, a dreamy nothing. The vision then was mainly internal. It was only for the glory of the Atman and his pristine purity, peace, and joy as an all-pervading, immanent, and immortal, and glowing spirit. In the early stages, his vision was occasionally lost, pulling him down to the old life of diversity with its turmoil of like and dislike, joy and grief. But he would be drawn in again, into the silence and calmness of the spirit. A stage was soon reached when this dwelling in the spirit became a permanent and unvarying experience, with no more falling off from it. And then the still more exalted state came on. His hither inner vision projected outwards. First, a glimpse of this new vision dazzled him off and on. This was the working of the divine love. He would feel as though his very soul had expanded like the blossoming of a flower, and by a flash, as it were, enveloped the whole universe, embracing all in a subtle halo of love and light. This experience granted him a bliss infinitely greater than he had in the previous state. Now it was that Ram Dass began to cry out, "Ram is all. It is he as everybody and everything." This condition was for some months coming on and vanishing. When it wore away, he would instinctively go into solitude. When it was present, he freely mixed in the world, preaching the glory of divine love and bliss. With this externalized vision, Ram Dass' mission began. Its fullness and magnificence was revealed to him during his stay in the Kadri's cave, and here the experience became more sustained and continuous. The vision of God shone in his eyes, and he would see none but him in all objects. Now, wave after wave of joy arose in him. He realized that he had attained to a consciousness full of splendor, power, and bliss. In his accounts of his travels and dealings with devotees, humor was never far from Papa's lips. Always a keen sense of proportion leveled the absurd to the mundane and raised the mundane to the sublime. Once Papa was rambling aimlessly through a bazaar, not begging, indeed indifferent to the food, as he was on a water fast. "Who is that man?" a passerby inquired of a merchant, pointing at Papa. The merchant replied, tapping his temple, "He is half-cracked." Papa, overhearing the remark, went up to them to correct the merchant's words. "No, brother, not merely half-cracked. Why not say fully cracked, which is the truth?" So saying, Papa passed on his way. Any doubt about Papa's sense of proportion is washed away completely by the boot kick puja episode. Papa had been staying at Lindi, where he had been sumptuously looked after and treated with the utmost respect. Every day, more than 100 people came for his darshan and satsang. Never attached to such externalities, as soon as Papa received the inner command of Ram to quit the place, he left. The Tiyas train ride was broken at several places by a change in trains. One occurred at about 10 at night. Entering a third-class carriage, Papa found that it was very full, and everyone was lying down at full length on their bedding, leaving no room for any other passenger. Somehow, however, Papa found a perch at the feet of a particularly short passenger. At the next station, a number of new passengers poured into the carriage. These had to stand in the narrow passage between the seats, while not a single sleeping passenger made room for them. Papa felt that he should give up his seat for one of them, and so he quietly slipped down to the floor and stayed there. His former perch was, of course, immediately taken. At the next station, a fresh set of passengers came in. The rush was now so great that they began trampling through the passage with their heavy boots. Searching for some available place to sit, Papa crouched on the floor like a rabbit, receiving their kicks with no small delight. He rolled himself down and twisted his body into a figure eight in order to take up the least amount of room. Station after station, new passengers came in. They crowded the passage to well-nigh suffocation point. Some of the sleeping passengers were even forced to sit up. So Papa was treated with boot kicks from all four sides. Seated passengers had to knock against him when changing the position of their legs. The ones standing in the passage added their share whenever they were shoved. Papa's only covering was a single cloth from head to foot. He looked not unlike a cloth bag on the floor. Reflecting upon the situation, Papa said to himself, "Ram Dass, only a few hours ago you were receiving puja worship at the houses of several devotees with flower gardens, sandal paste, and arati, the waving of lights. That was one kind of puja. Now, here you are, immediately afterwards, getting another kind, with boot kicks. Where is the difference? Is there any less Ram in one than in the other?" And so Papa went on chuckling to himself throughout the rest of the journey. He traveled all over India many times during the next few years, and finally settled down in a small ashram built by one of his devotees at Kasaragod, Kerala. It was here that Mother Krishnabai had his darshan and decided to dedicate her life to his service. Mother Krishnabai tells of her own life and realization in her autobiography, Guru's Grace. By God's will, circumstances caused them to leave Kasaragod and settle down in Kanangad, where the present Ananda Ashram was founded in the year 1931. This ashram has become a field for them to put into practice the universal love they had gained as a result of their universal vision. Although Papa attained Mahasamadhi in 1963 and Mataji Krishnabai in 1989, the motto of the ashram continues to be universal love and service. About man's relationship with God, Papa says, "Man is God playing the fool," meaning that God is essentially divine, but that divine has put on a mask of ignorance on himself and pretends individuality. When he is ready to tear off the mask, the individual gets tired of the worldly life and seeks peace and everlasting happiness. He then goes to a wise man, accepts him as his guru, the sadhana as prescribed by him, and by virtue of sadhana and the guru's grace, all the vasanas accumulated over lifetimes are washed away and the mind is made pure. Thereupon the mask is torn off and the individual realizes, "I am Brahman." When and in whom he chooses to reveal himself is a mystery. Papa emphasized the need of absolute surrender to the divine will. He would say, "His will is supreme. If you are conscious of this always, there is no struggle in life at all. When we surrender to God's will, we put all of our burdens on Him. He is only too willing to carry everything. Surrender means strength, peace, bliss, and wisdom. And when the ego raises its head, all these disappear and man becomes a puny, careworn creature. God has made man a blissful thing." What is meant by surrender? Surrender means to know and feel that all our actions are God's actions. All our movements are His movements. If we live our life with this attitude, our ego sense will gradually disappear. The whole universe is the play and form of God's Shakti. When once we know that all are forms of the One Divine, all separateness will be lost in the great realization. And quotes from Papa. Papa is not a pure Advaitin. Advaitins believe that there is only God that is supreme above all creation, and creation is a false idea. Papa is not a pure Advaitin. He believes in the coexistence of Advaita and Advaita. The Jiva Mukta retains a higher subtle individuality. He moves about and acts in the world, realizing that he and God are one. Ram Dass in this body is active in doing things. Whatever he may do, he is at the same time conscious that he is the eternal and all-pervading reality. So, in that state, there is separation and unity simultaneously. Swami Satchidananda, is there no state when the Jiva Mukta can lose his individuality in the One and be free of birth? Papa, that is possible. That is what the Jnanis do. They do not believe in the existence of higher individuality at all. As soon as the lower individuality is dissolved, they cease to exist as separate entities. There cannot be any rebirth for them. Adi Shankaracharya was one of that type. Having realized his oneness with the Absolute, Papa maintained a subtle individuality to enjoy his relationship with the Divine as a child towards its mother or a servant towards its master. He had great reverence for all saints and sages. Whenever he referred to them, he would say that he was only a child of all saints. He had great respect and reverence for Bhagavan Sri Ramana. Of him, he said, Sri Ramana Maharshi was in all aspects a remarkable saint. After realizing the eternal, he lived in the eternal. His advent was a veritable blessing on this earth. By his contact, thousands were saved from the clutches of doubt and sorrow. He lived what he preached, and he preached what he lived. He exerted a wonderful influence and created in the hearts of ignorant men and women a consciousness of their inherent divinity. He awakened the sleeping soul to the awareness of its immortal and all-blissful nature. By his very presence, he rid the hearts of people of their base and unbridled passions. The faithful derived the greatest benefit by communion with him. As Papa had attained realization by taking to uninterrupted chanting of the divine name, Ram, coupled with the contemplation of the attributes of God, he always extolled the virtue of Nama Japa and Sadhana, repetition of God's name. Based upon his personal experience, Papa assured all seekers that Nama Japa would lead them to the supreme heights of realization of one's oneness with the Almighty. On the power of the divine name, he has this to say: the divine name is pregnant with the power to transform the world. It can create light where there is darkness, love where there is hate, order where there is chaos, and happiness where there is misery. The name can change the entire atmosphere of the world from one of bitterness, ill will, and fear to that of mutual love, goodwill, and trust. For the name is God Himself. To bring nearer the day of human liberation from the sway of hatred and misery, the way is the recognition of the supremacy of God over all things, and keeping the mind in tune with the universal by chanting of the divine name. May beloved Papa, who is everything and beyond everything, continue to bless and lead all to the supreme goal. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Isn't that beautifully written? Our dear Swamiji. And from our dear mother, I'd like to read to you a letter that she wrote to Papa. My blessed Papa, this is dated, written in Seattle, May 21st, 1959. Beloved, my blessed Papa, it was just a year ago today that we left the holy soil of Ananda Ashram in the living presence of God in the form of our beloved Papa. My longing to be with you once again, lay my head at your lotus feet, is so overpowering that it seems that the very force of my desire must transport me there at once. What a year this has been. I have tried and tried to write to you, but it seems as though a power greater than myself has kept me from doing so. Perhaps it is because you said at the beginning of the sadhana I went through under your guidance that I should not try to write letters, but should spend the time in perfecting my God realization. Strangely enough, I was in the process of writing to you on November 24th when I went into another experience which took me out of body consciousness for 3 weeks and into the astral plane. It has taken me from then until now to adjust myself and return to the normality of human existence. This experience, too, although not as devastating physically or the one I went through in India, was terribly terrible because the adverse forces kept trying to take me forcibly from my body. I fought it with everything I had, and as you had previously instructed me, hung on to God alone and prayed. Believe me, I know that only He has brought me through. How many times I have wished that I might talk with you because I do not understand all that has happened to me. I have been shown truth in great measure, but also much that I had experienced has been terrifying and hallucinatory. While in that state, I, who have only a mediocre voice at best, sang more beautifully than can be imagined, danced as though I was a trained for years as a ballerina, and performed all the asanic postures, none of which I could do before, nor have I been able to do them since. I was in a tremendous magnetic field, which even made my hair stand up on end and go only in one direction. And I actually experienced burns on my body, which were seen by others than myself. While it lasted, I took almost no food or water and slept hardly at all. Again, I have been taken to the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Quote, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." When I think of the things which have happened to me since my first experience of samadhi, in 1954, I can only say over and over again to utter amazement, my God, as I try to understand and adjust myself so that I may continue toward the goal. Tremendous changes have taken place in my consciousness as I continue to receive ever greater visions of the universal pattern. I now fully realize how greatly God has blessed me when He released me from the bondage to an organization and set me free to operate only in the Spirit. How blind we remain until the dawn of God realization comes to remove the veil of darkness and limitation from our inner vision. Recently, Billy Graham wrote in his daily article in a Seattle newspaper, "The way of the cross has never been, nor will ever be, a popular way, but it's the only way that leads to God. There will always be those who promote false doctrines, but remember, every counterfeit is a testimony that the real actually exists. Truly, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but the victory is to him who is faithful." That I have gone the way of the Christ and the cross, I cannot doubt. But I have yet to experience God and Papa alone know. My only desire is to become one with Him and to live and serve Him in the bliss of His eternal love and light. I am not content to settle for anything less than what you describe to be the ultimate, Sahaja Samadhi. The human in me sometimes cringes from additional horror and suffering, but the Spirit knows that it must and will preserve to the end. The end I speak of is the absolute destruction of the human ego and the birth anew in the consciousness of the Christ. As I remember you said, there are four levels or phases to be experienced before liberation would be attained, Will you please again refresh my memory with regard to these four states? Recently, I have been greatly depressed because I have not yet been able to reach my goal. I cry for him and to him to relieve the terrible agony of separation which I still experience. I beg of you, Papa, to intercede with him for me. Ask him to fill me with his bliss and the radiance of his presence forever. Father has gone hand in hand with me each step of the way. What a great soul he has become. It has been like Swami Yanananda said, you will be on the same train, but in different compartments. It has been very difficult for him also, but in a different way. We have grown very close together in our search for God, and we have a most wonderful marriage. How much we both love you, Papa. There are no words to describe. When we think of your saintliness and the infinite goodness and patience both you and Mother Krishnabai displayed toward us each moment of our stay with you, our hearts melt to overflowing. It is scarcely human possible to conceive of such unselfish love and service. And in spite of all that you must have been inconvenienced because of us, even though we couldn't help it, still your last words were, you were welcome to come any time. Would to God that we could return to finish our sadhana at your holy feet. Perhaps God, in his infinite mercy, will make it possible and under much more favorable conditions. The worst must be over and the darkness behind us. The next step must be a lifting up in exaltation. Surely, the diverse forces must know by now that their cause is hopeless, and that I will never give up until I have become one with my beloved. Our little group continues to function under God's direction. Although their faith has been tested beyond endurance, still they remain with us and are faithful and loyal. There are some wonderful souls among them, and we are very grateful that God has so blessed us. At our initial meeting with the group after our return, I told them in detail about the action of Self-Realization Fellowship had taken with regard to me and told them that they must feel free to continue their membership with lessons with SRF if they chose to do so. I also told them that if they wished, they could write to the headquarters and ask them to appoint a new leader for them. In closing, I quoted the following poem by Edwin Markham because it expressed what I have come to feel in my heart. I changed only a few words to fit the need. They drew a circle and shut me out. Heretic, infidel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle and took them in. I remember so well the day that you said to me, you will be a tremendous power for God in the Western world. And on another occasion, I said to you, it promises to be very interesting. Does it not, Papa? And you answered, interesting is scarcely the word. I then asked, terrific, tremendous, colossal? And you said, yes, that is what it will be. I look forward to that day, knowing that if Papa said so, it will happen. God will help us become, because he knows we both want only to serve him. I know beyond doubt that the first and only important thing is to become one with him, no matter in which direction it leads us, and then all the rest will follow. The blind cannot lead the blind. One must have full God realization before he can be the channel through which God can liberate others. But also, one can serve as God directs while gaining enlightenment. In fact, it is sometimes the very means by which he reaches the goal. Would we refuse a cup of water to one who is thirsty just because we do not have the ocean beside us? Each Sunday, as I give a sermon to our people, I feel the power of God ever increasing, sometimes to the point where I have difficulty in returning to a state of consciousness where I can converse normally with them after service. Through the very act of permitting me to serve them, this is blanked out, not becoming ever closer to Him, I know that I of myself am nothing. My ignorance is colossal. It is only my Father who doeth the works. You have put your stamp of God upon me for all time, beloved little Papa, and I can never be the same again. And for this I thank God with all my heart. Even though you have discontinued writing, you will remember that you promised you would write to me, guiding and directing me in the work that I do. Please let me have your comments, criticisms, and suggestions in full measure. We both know that your blessings are with us always. This is an unusually long letter, and I hope that it does not tire you to read it. However, I have a lot to report to you regarding our progress, and a year is a long time. Please convey our love and devotion to Mother. I shall be grateful to both of you all the days of my life for all that you did for me. Tell her that I now understand the true guru relationship, and I know that she meant what she meant when she said that you and my master are but different sides of the same face. Give our love also to our beloved Satchitananda and all others there who work so hard to carry out your teachings and to serve us. May the light of God, which has so completely illumined you, your being, continue to shine forth for many years to come, beckoning all with whom you come into contact, and to forsake the darkness of ignorance and follow Him, the light of the world. My love and devotion for you burns forever on the altar of my heart. So as a day to reflect upon Papa and his influence on our life, because we are the recipients, even as a river begins in the high peaks of mountains and moves down through many layers and gathers unto itself all the different streamlets along the way, making it a greater and a greater river until it all flows into the ocean. This happens with great masters as well as within our own self. Truly, as we focus our attention and make our intention to become one with God, we gather all the different forces inside of us, all the wayward thoughts, desires, human nature that we have become through our long outer journey into the world. We gather them all back to ourselves. We focus them and channel them into one divine current that flows ceaselessly towards the ocean, going through every rock, every crevice, passing through every obstacle, being carried by a force that is unseen, until finally it enters into the ocean. This happens within just as with the Master. And we can join ourselves with the great masters that have lived before us. It is a shame in the Christian world that when the Protestants began their movement, that they didn't acknowledge the role of saints. Truly, the Catholic Church had misused saints because they are powerful. But that is like throwing out the name God because it is so powerful but has been misused. Rather than throwing something out, we should redefine it. We should come to a proper understanding. Not all who follow in a tradition are saints. A saint is that one who is really making some progress to the goal. They are heart, mind, and soul focused upon realizing God and serving God with all love and devotion. That saint is gathering all those forces, all those rivulets are coming into being. And a realized master is one who has successfully gathered all those different forces from within and put it into that one channel, into the Sushumna, the center of the astral spine, where all those forces, all that life energy, is brought powerfully into the higher centers, into the sixth center at the Ajna, the Christ center. And there we enter into the kingdom of heaven. We feel the bliss. We feel the upliftment. We feel our oneness with the divine. And yet, while in that state, there is still a subtle sense of duality, even as was described in Papa's own journey. He is feeling the bliss of God. He is in the upliftment, but he wasn't completely, as Mother would say, over the top. And so there is more for him to go through. And Mother herself, in 1954, went through the Nirvikalpa Samadhi. For 11 days she was lifted up into that state. And she had tremendous revelations that went back into the very origins of the earth and its creation, and all the ways that it's come down to this time. And she had many predictive things, and one of the things that she saw were airplanes running into buildings and crashing in smoke. And after 9/11, I wondered if she was presaging what had happened, because that was such a worldwide significant event. And she urged us to seek out our realization and our oneness with God, because this world will not always be a stable platform if it ever was. And we must do it with some urgency. We must do it with some vigor, some focus. God must awaken himself in us with that desire to seek out the divine realization. We always think, tomorrow sometime, then I'll get to it. Later in my life, when I'm not quite so busy, then I'll get to it. But that time never comes. The day never comes. We always find something more to fill our life with. There is only one time to start your sadhana, and that is right now. And to really apply yourself. It's not difficult. We imagine it's so hard. And it's like opening a door that has been closed for a long time, and perhaps there's rust and corrosion on the hinges, and it makes it difficult to open the door. So that is the struggle. But once the door is open, the difficulty is over. Now, we live in the stream of bliss and joy and light that is inherently ours. If you knew that, if you really knew it, you would not hesitate. You would dive into the ocean, even as I am speaking. You would surrender yourself, heart, mind, body, and soul, and become one with that divine consciousness. Everybody has excuses. Everybody has reasons. But none of them are really sufficient to the cause. Because there is no reason, no human reason, not to do as the great masters before us have done. Now, Papa left hearth and home, as Swami Satchidananda described, because he was prompted to. But later on, he often said that it is not efficacious for most people to do so, that we should stay in the home, and truly, our path is one of householder yogis. We live a balanced life. We live in this world. We raise families. We pay mortgages. We go to work. We do the ordinary things of life. But underneath all of that so-called ordinariness, there is a heart that beats, a spiritual pulse that goes throughout our lives. There is the song of Om Shri Ram that pulsates within and all around us. We change ourselves through this attunement, and we change the world. Master used to say, change yourself and you will change thousands. And truly, the great masters and saints are proof of this. Now, not everyone who gains realization need be teacher or guru. That's not a requirement. Some simply merge their beings into the infinite. They have accomplished what they came to do. Others continue to live and to serve. And as Papa said, they serve with a new kind of ego. They have given up the ghost. But now they operate out of the power of the Holy Ghost, or the divine ego, which is a thin veil that the Master wears in order to have a personality, in order to relate to people. Otherwise, you would be absorbed into the Supreme, and you couldn't relate to people where they're at today. So Mother came to us, Papa came to us, Master came to us, to play with us, to teach us, to love us, to suffer with us, all in order that we might be lifted up in divine consciousness. And they lived it with every part of their beings. And what they desired for each and every one of us was to experience the ultimate freedom that comes with divine realization. Papa gave the simplest path possible. Why not sing your way to heaven? Why not sing to God? Why not make it a love affair? Sing that song of Om Shri Ram, and then think of God's attributes. O Lord, you are all powerful. You are all joy, all light, all love. You take care of me. You look after every single thing for me. My part is to attune myself with you, and you inhabit my being. You fill me to the fullest. Every cell of my being is charged with thy dynamic power and light. You take control of me and you guide me. You are all powerful. You have created everything, will supply everything that is necessary for me. And this becomes the truth. Because you are opening yourself to the creative power that brought everything into being. Therefore, what is beyond that power to bring to you? Now, it does not necessarily bring everything that we want, every little desire that we have, but it's surprising in all the little ways that God does fulfill even the smallest little desires that flit through our mind. Suddenly, they become manifest. And it brings to you a heart of gratitude, filled with gratitude. Oh, Lord, thank you for this. You have supplied this. You have seen to that. I didn't know how to do that, but you brought this person into my life, and they know how to do it. And either they teach it, or they're able to do it, teach me, or they're able to do it for me. And so you feel that gratitude, and you feel the pulsation of divine life through every being that you meet. Papa, perhaps more than any other great master, has illustrated for us what it is like to look out through these two eyes and to see nothing but God in all the universe, no matter the appearances or the forms that he shows up in. And you know, sometimes the more outrageous the form that comes, the easier it's to identify as God. You think no individual could ever act like this. This must be God having fun with me. This is part of his play. This is part of his fun. Now, it comes as a strange notion to many of us that this universe should be fun, that it should be joy. But you know, we learn from Indian cosmology that this universe evolved out of joy, out of bliss. It was a blissful expression of God. If you could imagine holding the book of life in your hands, just like a play that has been written. The book is there in its entirety. But in order for you to enjoy the book, you have to open the first page and begin to read. And gradually the characters in the story begin to form themselves and to unfold. And they bring to you delight. They bring to you surprise. Now, if you knew the entirety of the book before you started reading it, you may be denied some of the delights and surprises that the story contains for you. And your life is like that. Your life is that book. You are written about in the book of life. And each page, as it unfolds, brings perhaps a surprise, a delight, a joy, something that you didn't know before. And when you know that you are written of in that book of life, and that your future is assured, that your realization is assured, and what you must do is continue to turn the pages and to allow life to unfold before you. Just think what a relief that would be, just knowing that everything is provided for, everything is taken care of. All you must do is just live your life and do it with the best of your ability. And God will take care of the rest, because everything has already been provided for. Jesus assured us that if your son asked a father for a piece of bread, his father would not give him a stone as a joke. He would give him bread. He would realize that his child needs to eat. How much more does your heavenly Father love you and will provide for you? Papa represented that total and complete surrender. And believe me, when you stand on the edge of eternity, there is a part of you who wants to turn away because you don't know what's going to happen. Will my existence cease to be? Will I be destroyed? What will happen to me? And yet, when we look at the lives of the great spiritual masters who have attained that realization, whether it's Mother or Master or Papa or Jesus or Buddha or Krishna, these are the greatest personalities who have ever walked the earth. And we remember them when we don't remember who the king was at the time or who the wealthiest man in the land was at the time. And oftentimes these were the poorest of the poor. They walked on their 2 feet. They didn't even have a donkey or a horse or anything to ride on. They just had 1 piece of cloth to call their own. And we remember them, and the rest are forgotten in the dusty bin of history. So let us not fool ourselves into thinking that when we attain that great realization, that we become as nothing. And yet there is a part of that experience where we feel that we must throw everything into the sea, and that includes our anticipation of future existence, because that is the clinging and hanging on by the human ego. And so we sing God's name. We surrender to God. We love God. We feel that positive, powerful attraction drawing us into divine consciousness. And we do it with total and complete abandon. We lead a balanced life as God directs us to do. But we give ourselves totally and completely to that infinite source from which we have come. As the song says, we all come from God, and into Him we all return. It's the most beautiful sentiment. And there we know that the book of life is complete already. All you have to do is to live it. And there is Papa, writing down on the pages, filling in all the details, like a Mother looking after everything. These are what these great masters do for us. Let your heart open. Why do you shield your heart? Why do you keep it narrow? For what purpose? Who will hurt you? What will hurt you? God will never hurt you. God will answer your opening by coming in and filling you with that divine love that surpasses anything that you have known in the past. Not because somebody is doing something for you or being nice to you or flattering you. That is not why you love them. You love them because God loved them first and is now loving them through your heart. And you could not not love them. You just don't have it in you. And the door of your heart has been opened in such a way. So let us honor Papa. Let us honor his life by emulating him, by keeping our minds focused upon God always and surrendering to Him and loving and serving Him in all forms. I guarantee you, you will never look back with any regret or any thought that I wish I hadn't taken David's advice that one day. I guarantee you that. You will always thank God. You at last gave me what my heart so yearned for, the freedom in spirit, the freedom that Papa describes in his own experiences, the freedom that has been promised to us since time began. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram. Please pray with me the prayer of perfection. O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet. And surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence
are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. Out to the light with you.